Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, today I am going to start a new series called How to Build an Ark. And I hope it interests you. And I just believe it's going to be a great blessing to you. So if you have your Bibles, those of you who are at home, you can turn into the Word of God as well. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're going to go to the faith chapter of Hebrews, or the hero chapter we could also call it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And if you don't have your Bible, verses are available for you on the screen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, by faith, everyone say, by faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah's Ark is probably one of the few stories that most people would recognize. If you travel across the globe, you will find that there are Noah's Ark restaurants. You can find Noah's Ark paintings, Noah's Ark aprons, Noah's Ark coffee mugs. There are even Noah's Ark earrings for those of you that are interested. And you can even search on the internet and you can get a recipe for Noah's Ark brownies. In fact, the largest water park in the United States is located in the state of Wisconsin. Guess what it's called? Noah's Ark. Often, Noah's Ark is associated with a Sunday school teaching. We think of it as a story that is meant for kids. But it is so much more than that. It is a courageous story of determination. It is a courageous story of obedience and endurance. Noah was by no means perfect, yet his faith and biblical grit would set an example for the generations that would follow. I don't know if you enjoy the TV show Family Feud, but that's a TV show that Allison and I and the kids lean into every now and again. And Family Feud gets me going because I feel like I know the answers. But if we were to do that today and we were to get a questionnaire around what would we say or what word would we use to describe when we say the name Noah, most people would say the word ark or perhaps animals, possibly even flood. But rarely do we talk about Noah's faith. Rarely do we talk about Noah's determination. Rarely do we talk about Noah's biblical grit. And today, what I want to do is I want to preach about three things that Noah's life, his character, things that speak to us today, things that we can learn from, things that echo through the generations, speaking to us about the purposes of God through this amazing man. So number one, we're going to have a look at how Noah obeyed faithfully. He was a faithful man when it came to the will of God. The scripture that we read this morning, it said that by faith, Noah, when warned about, watch this, things not yet seen. Noah had never seen rain. Noah had no idea what a flood actually looked like. You and I, we have reference points. We know what a tsunami is. We know what an earthquake is. We know what rain is. We know what a flood is. But Genesis actually tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, that the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth. And in verse 6, it says that the way that God watered the earth was through a mist that came up from the earth and it watered the whole face of the ground. So here's a man that's been commissioned by God to believe something that he had never seen. Here's a man who's been commissioned by God to trust God in something that he had no idea what that actually looked like. It's difficult to imagine how God's message must have sounded to Noah. To most of us, it would have felt so strange, demanding, embarrassing, overwhelming, possibly even thinking, God, you've chosen the wrong person. How do I actually get out of this commission? Yeah. Noah was asked to build something that was 160 kilometers inland. You can understand how Noah must have been considered the biggest fool in all of history. People saw this great hulk of a boat being built. They must have laughed at him. They must have scorned him. I'm sure they probably at some time called him Crazy Noah. There he goes again, building something that just doesn't even make sense. His faithfulness to God gave him the reputation of an outcast in his generation, a fool in his generation. The boat was 137 meters long, close to 1.5 NRL football fields. Wow. Noah couldn't just go to Bunnings and order the timber. His three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, day after day, cutting down trees, sawed them into the right size, right pieces, and it took him 120 years to build the thing, 160 kilometers inland, being scorned, being ridiculed, being ostracized for choosing the will of God. Talk about a long obedience. Talk about sticking to something. Modern Christianity, if something takes 2 years, God's taking too long. God takes 10 years, he's taking too long. If it doesn't happen through the drive-thru in 4 minutes as they promised, it's way too long, people. I got my kids a chocolate sundae last night through McDonald's. Man, it took too long. I actually was upset. And here's Noah. 120 years for something he had never seen. All he had was a word from God. What's rain? What's a flood? But God put something in his spirit. Imagine if God asked you to build a boat 160 kilometers inland. Would you commit yourself and your family for 120 years with no evidence, except a word from God? Not even signposts along the way. Not even maybe a prophetic word every 6 weeks to encourage you. Nothing. All he had was a long obedience to the word and the will of God. We can never underestimate faithfulness. Never underestimate faithful people. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithfulness should be honored. Faithfulness should be treasured. You know, the original Webster's Dictionary, you can go on it online. It's a great dictionary to look at, produced or written in 1828. It's the original Webster's Dictionary. Do you know that 34% of the original Webster's Dictionary is actually from the Word of God? The definitions are related to Bible verses. And faithfulness or faithful is referred to as having a firm in adherence to the truth. Noah made a decision. Despite being criticized, despite being ostracized, despite being ridiculed by a generation of people, he looked like a fool, old crazy Noah, but he stayed true to the will of God. Would I have done my best? Maybe even to talk God out of the idea? It's like a good idea, God, but I reckon we can come up with a better one. How about getting someone else to do the job? Noah never argued. There's never an account of him ever making an excuse. There's never an account of him complaining, even procrastinating. This was faithfulness that stood against all common sense. Noah, perhaps more than any other person in Bible history, illustrates a commitment to faithfulness. Can you be faithful? Can we be faithful as the people of God when things don't work out in the way that we'd like it to work out? We've had a pandemic that's lasted for 6, 7, 8 months, and people lose their commitment to faithfulness. And here's a man who stood on his own with his family for 120 years, being faithful to a word that he had received from God. His action was motivated by faith, not by any reason, calculation of the probabilities based on the best available evidence. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, talks about end times. Speaks about the people of God that will rise up in the generation to come, maybe even us. It says these will make war with the Lamb, that is opposing forces, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called, watch this, called, chosen, and famous. Called, chosen, and faithful. Never underestimate faithfulness. Never underestimate. God is pleased with faithfulness. God is pleased with people who just keep turning up every single week. God is pleased with life group leaders who just love their people, serving faithfully. Not only did Noah obey faithfully, he obeyed accurately. God gave him a very specific design, specific reason. There had to be specific passengers, specific cargo. Twice the scripture speaks about Noah's commitment. I pray this over your life. I pray this over your call. I pray this over your character. I pray this over your children, what I'm about to say. I pray this over your children's children. May it be said of us, when all is said and done, when we go to be with him one day. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. What a great honor. What a great privilege that when we die one day and we go to be with him, doesn't speak about our fame, doesn't speak about how many microphones we held, but you did all that God commanded you. Noah obeyed accurately. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 5, it says, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. He obeyed accurately. Nothing was left to chance. Detailed mattered to him. If it mattered to God, then it mattered to him. Remember when we first came to Sydney 7 years ago, last Monday, actually. And I remember going through a season of what I call daily bread. There's a few times in my leadership journey where every day God gave me a word for Horizon Church. Every day I had to be obedient in those first 2 years. Words mattered, language mattered, the way I interacted with people mattered. God brought me to a place where I had to learn to obey accurately. Things mattered, financial decisions mattered. I couldn't be flippant about choices. It mattered, and I can truly say with all of my heart for Allison and I, we did all that God had commanded us. Noah is an outstanding example of obeying God accurately. No instruction was overlooked. Watch this. This is what God is actually bringing you to. His compliance was complete. You think about future. You think about destiny. And all these amazing things. There is, in fact, a deeper work going on in the purposes of God, and that is his compliance was complete. Let it be said of a generation of churchgoers who they themselves can truly say, too many C's there. His compliance, that too. I wasn't in speaking in tongues, by the way, if you were wondering. His compliance, I love speaking in tongues, by the way. His compliance was complete. Not my will, but your will be done. When we are tempted to question God's direction, remember, he doesn't owe us an explanation. Noah had never had a deep explanation. He didn't have hours and hours of reasoning with God. He simply obeyed. Two things I want to mention to you about obeying God accurately. Noah made a decision that understanding can wait, but obedience can't. Understanding, people of God, can wait. You can put it on the back burner, but obedience can't. But it's through obedience that we unlock understanding. Doesn't come the other way around. It's our obedience that unlocks understanding. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, Bible says a light shone from heaven. He said, "Who are you, Lord? Secondly, what do you want me to do?" It's his lordship. It's obedience that, secondly, unlocks understanding. Amen. Noah was a man of obedience, and his life continually showed his faith by his absolute commitment to God. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 5, Peter speaks about Noah and called him a preacher of righteousness. Noah's witness was entirely rejected. Think about that for a moment. He didn't convince one person. If we had someone on our team that for 120 years convinced no one, never raised up any leaders, never built, well, as a preacher, he would have been regarded as a total failure. But he stuck to what God put in his heart. He was a preacher of righteousness. And this is the funny thing. He only had a 3-word sermon. It's going to rain. And he worked by day. And he witnessed by night. He worked and he witnessed in a generation that had turned its back on God. He chose to be faithful. It's going to rain. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Jesus made a direct comparison between the days of Noah and the days preceding his return to the earth in Matthew chapter 24. Right now we are in the days of Noah. Compromised values, the rejection of God, killing of babies, violence on a daily basis, widespread unbelief and skepticism. He saw himself pleasing God and not the culture. Could there be people like Noah who don't bow their knee to the culture? Under pressure, being squeezed. He had no results except it's going to rain. What is rain? I don't know. God just said it's going to rain. It's easy to be a Christian at church. It's easy to feel free in the environment that we're in, and we thank God for it. But watch this. Noah was a follower in a secular world. Noah was a follower, an obedient, faithful, accurate follower in a secular world. And a day came, he kept preaching, he kept declaring his heart, he kept telling what people what was wrong and what God was about to do. And a day came when Noah was absolutely right. You never let God's put in your heart. You hold on with grit to the purposes of God. Noah was faithful and he obeyed accurately. Not only was he faithful, not only did he obey accurately, but Noah obeyed worshipfully. It tells us in the scripture that we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says that in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Now, if we use the word fear, sometimes we can get the wrong impression. It's like, oh no, rain, flood's coming. And it suggests that Noah acted under the influence of fright or under the influence of pressure. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 in the Amplified actually gives us a better understanding of that word fear. And it says, prompted by faith, Noah took heed and diligently and reverently. He reverently constructed and prepared an ark. Noah was a worshiper. He built in opposition to what was going on in the world. He was faithful to the will and the word that he had received from God. How did he build? He built in reverence. We're talking about a worship word today. Lord, I give you glory. Cut another piece of timber. Got the size right. You're amazing, God. The world doesn't understand, but I'm going to keep building. And I'm going to keep building. Lord, it's been 30 years, and you said that there would be this thing called rain, a phenomenon called rain, but I worship you. I honor you. I give you my life. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. You deserve all the praise. 50 years passed by. Noah and his three sons still building. Lord, it's January 1st now, and we've been at this for a while. It's kind of my back's getting a little bit sore. But you know what, God? I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he kept building, he kept building, and he kept building because he was a worshiper. Oswald Chambers says, the life of faith is a life of walking and not fainting. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. We worship you, Almighty God. We're faithful to what you've asked us to do, not for the praise of men, but for the praise of God, so that one day we could stand before him and hear the words that we all long for. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Would Noah never realize in his act of obedience of how prophetic his act of obedience actually would be. You do not know your act of obedience right now, what it will do and how it will influence generations to come. You'll never know the choice that you made as the first person in your family to give their heart to Jesus as Lord and Savior, the influence that will have on generations to come. You have no idea what your grandkids will end up being in the kingdom. You have no idea what their grandkids will do for the kingdom of God. Noah acted prophetically through his obedience, through having a heart that was full of worship. Just as the ark was provided by God, Christ was sent from heaven as a gracious provision for our salvation. Do you think that day after day, year after year, that Noah realized that he was actually acting out the very life of Jesus Christ? But we don't need an explanation. All we need is obedience. There was only one ark. He didn't argue with God and say, how about we build four just to be safe? What happens if one, I cut the piece of timber wrong? We can always choose the second one. There's only one ark and there was only one door. He never argued with God saying, hey, how about we make three or four doors just in case we need to escape? And this one, you know, like an airplane, is like, how do all the people fit through this door? Let's create more doors, God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One ark. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did he ever think what he was doing would echo through the generations? Your obedience matters. Your faithfulness matters. It's influencing generations to come. There may have been alcoholism in your family, drug addiction, all forms of insecurity, sexual sin perhaps. It stops in this generation in Jesus' name. And our obedience influences the generations to come. The ark had three levels. When salvation comes to us, it saves us and influences us on three levels. We are saved in our spirit. We are saved in our soul. And the Lord has touched our body. By his stripes, you were already healed. The ark saved everyone who entered. And everyone who comes to Christ is saved. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never turn away. The ark was a place of total security. No matter how high the waters rose, the people inside were safe. Let the winds howl. Let the winds blow. Let it crash on every single side. The rain can fall for 40 days and 40 nights, but it didn't matter because the ark was so strong that it preserved everyone and everything inside. All those who come to Christ find that they are not only saved, they are safe forever and eternally secure in him. Amen. Are you enjoying today's sermon? In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, watch this now, says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. That invitation is extended to humanity, still extended. Come into the ark. Find security. Find safety. Look at what it says, you and all your household. Those of you who have family members who don't know the Lord, this is God's promise to you. You and all your household. Come on. You and all your household. Watch what happens. In verse 4, It says 7 days from now. So watch what happened. They come into the ark. Door didn't close straight away. They came into the ark and it says, 7 days from now, I'll make the rain pour down on the earth and it will rain 40 days and 40 nights. Watch what it says in verse 16. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. We're living in an age of grace. We've entered the ark, but the door's open. And the appeal goes out to a generation. We carry that appeal. We're in the ark, but the door's still open. For 7 days, they hung out in the ark. They waited, and they waited, and they waited. And I'm sure Noah, the preacher of righteousness, still appealed to people. Noah, you've been doing this for 120 years, man. Like, you're talking about this thing, this flood. You're still going on about it, crazy Noah. We're in a day of grace, and the door of salvation is all open to all who care to enter. Whoever wants to come, it's a free gift of salvation and righteousness. You didn't have to be involved in the building of the ark. Someone else has done the labor for you. Someone else has built it for you. We get to enjoy the work of another. There are generations who've gone before us. People like Deidre Moore, his dad, who've built. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice of building. And an invitation, watch this, in the day of grace is still going out to the entire world. And God, you heard it from Fee this morning, He extends chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. His love is sent out time and time again, but I need to say this, the day of grace will not last forever. Death comes to all of us, comes to all of humanity, some point sooner or later. And there will come a time, church, when the gospel call will actually end and the door will be closed. And we've been given this message, this beautiful message of salvation, calling humanity into the ark. You can be safe. You can be secure. Your eternity can be secure in the ark. What an incredible man of God. What an incredible story of faithfulness. You may not be the best singer. You may not be the best worship leader. You may not be the best preacher. But what we have is faithfulness. 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 Are there any faithful people at Horizon Church this morning? Can we just stand up on our feet this morning, please, church? Maybe our team can come. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. You're safe. You're secure. Your eternity is secured. Where? In the ark. Can we just worship the Lord just for a moment as an act of gratitude and thanksgiving? Perhaps you may want to raise your hands towards heaven.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.